Psalm 128, it says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Now, the fear of the Lord has great reward. And these are the things he's laying out to us here as the family of God. What should we expect? Where should we be? Under the New Testament, in the book of the epistles of Peter, he says that, I think it's 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So God is asking us to be diligent to have these things in our lives. Amen? Our faith and virtue. Virtue here is moral excellence. Amen? God has equipped us in that he has made us righteous, given us a righteous nature, a nature of godliness, a nature of his nature is in our spirits. And our spirit man is the real man. Our human spirit is the real person, not our emotions. Our emotion is part of us. Our minds are part of us, part of our souls, all right? But God deals primarily with our human spirits. God speaks to the human spirit. Praise the Lord. We're supposed to be people who have knowledge. We're supposed to walk with understanding of who God is, what he wants us to do. If things are going wrong, we ought to know where it went wrong and how to correct those things. Amen? So, what is a family in the sight of God? Society will have us believe that family or gender and stuff like that is a social construct, which means we came up with the idea so we can always do away with it whenever we feel like. And it is not true. Hallelujah. The world, even if the Senate of the United States of America comes up with a law, legislation, that says that gender is more than male and female, it doesn't change it for us. We're talking about people who fear the Lord. We are Christians. Amen? We're the people of God. And I'm talking to Christians. So we're dealing with a Christian family or a family with a Christian within it. Hallelujah. And when you're a Christian and you're within a Christian family or you're within a family, you ought to fight for your folks to be saved. And we fight in the place of prayer. We fight for their souls in the place of prayer so that they will come to believe as we do. So we're going to look at God's family. What I mean is family as God sees it. God does not recognize things that do not come from him. Anything that does not originate from God, God does not approve of, because it means that it is a strange thing in the land. And whatever did not come from God, God does not accept. Because God is a good God. There are two spiritual families upon the earth. The family of God and the family of the devil. Satan, the devil. There are no middle ground. There are no people out there who are just living their lives. There's no such thing. You're either living in the kingdom of God or you're in the kingdom of darkness. There is no middle ground. There's no neutral ground. You have to take sides. If you don't take any side, you've taken sides already. Hallelujah. So we're talking about Christians. Amen. So how does a Christian see these things? A Christian sees things from God's perspective. We consider his precepts or his judgment about everything to be right. In our sight, God's opinion is final concerning anything or any matter that is before us. We are children of God. We know that God is wiser than men. The Bible says that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. We believe God. We are here to please him, not ourselves. Because when you try to please yourself, what actually is happening is that you're trying to please the flesh. Because the real you is like God. He wants to please his father or her father. Amen? Your human spirit always wants to please God. The flesh wants to please the world or the devil. We are in the spirit. We're born of God. In Genesis chapter 1, we go to the Bible whenever we don't know what God specifically has to say about something. The Bible is our primary reference book for what God is, what God's opinion concerning things are. When we see the Word of God, something in the Word of God, and is contrary to what we believe, we're not supposed to hold on to what we believe. We're supposed to alter our position and line up with God. We're supposed to align our thinking with the Word of God. That's what it means to renew the mind. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, hallelujah, God begins to lay out something there that the Bible lays out something there that we need to know. And it says, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So it was not our idea. At this point, God said, let us make man. God had the idea and he brought it to pass. So it's God's idea that that we be male and female. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And the Lord God, I'm looking at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. We've established that male and female was God's idea. All right? So the beginning of a family is a man and his female wife. Biologically female wife. The Bible tells us what God made and how he made it. If we try to change it, there'll be confusion. We ought to know that God knows better than we do. He knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. So he formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed out of the ground, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good, and there is bdellium and onyx stones. And the name of the second river is Gihon, and the same is that which compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, and that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, it means that before the fall of man, there was such a thing called work. I say it again. For the man. Now, at this point, the woman had not shown up yet. I'm talking to the man now. He put the man in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So before man fell, there was work. It was quiet. There was work. Work did not come because some president said everybody needs to work. No. God gave man a job from day one. Man did not rest from day one. He gave him work from day one. You know, man showed up grown up. Man did not show up born as a kid, grew up. No. The first man on the earth was full grown and came on the scene, and God said, you go and do this. Amen? And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. So he had work and he had wages. He had a salary. God paid him something. Everybody stay quiet. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There were rules for living from the beginning. There are rules. There were rules then. And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. All right, I'm going to read this. Can we have verse 18? The Amplified Classic Version. It says, now the Lord God said, it is not good, sufficient, satisfactory, that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper, meet. And that word meet there means suitable, adapted, complementary for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. It was God who showed that the man's use should be for the woman and the woman for the man. Any other thing is an aberration, is abnormal. Is strange. It was not God's idea. In the Christian walk, we say it is not of God. When we say something is not of God, it means it did not have its origin in God. It was not God's idea. Hallelujah. So, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is the beginning of a family that is of God. Now, they don't necessarily have to be saved, but this is God's idea. Amen? So when you have Adam and Steed, you don't have a family. You have something that was originated by the devil. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So God sowed something. The devil, who is the enemy of God? The devil is the enemy of God. The devil is the usurper. The devil is the fraud. You know, because we have heard some things from some crazies who tell us that the devil is the real guy, that God is, you know, in there trying to teach men evil. And the thing is that some people's mentality has become so warped that they can accept such nonsense. But some people have chosen to do that. And if they don't repent, there's hell waiting for them. We love them. We don't want them to go there, but it's their choice. Hallelujah. We love the man, not what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? Love here we're talking about is the love of God. Amen. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household that came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Why? Sometimes the wheat and the tares look alike. You know, you see some believers, you know, they are children of God. They're supposed to be in church, but they're smoking some bit of reefer and still going to church. They're shacking up and they're still going to church. Now, I'm not saying that if you're shacking up, you should not go to church. I'm saying you look like a tear. You need to look like wheat. What should you do? Get married. Don't be living with somebody you're not married to. It doesn't matter how big you are in America, maybe in showbiz or whatever, everybody knows you. Even if you're a pastor, you know, sometimes it is sacrilegious that you're a pastor and you're shacking up. You and your girlfriend are living together. You're not married. And the man comes to church and says, hallelujah. And everybody's shouting with him. And he, you know, preaches up a storm and people are dancing and shouting. That is wheat behaving like a tear. He said, let both of them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. That is hell. To gather the wheat into my barn. Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, talking about Jesus. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares were gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend them that do iniquity. So what is he talking about? It means that at the end, when this time comes, that this shall be done, all the shakarops, God will gather them out of his kingdom. He will just do something. That's what the Bible calls the great falling away. People will begin to believe things they ought not to. You see people believing, you know, you see two women say they are married and they're now preaching and they are pastors. What baffles me about this is that you don't have to say you're a pastor. Okay. But God says he will gather them out. Hallelujah. Send the angels. They gather them out of the kingdom, all things that offend and which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who had ears to hear, let him hear. Praise the Lord. So when we see something that is abnormal, is not of God, we don't side with it. We know the enemy, the adversary, the wicked one, the devil, the serpent, the dragon, he was the one who planted it. It says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now, the beginning of a family is a man and his wife. A man and his female wife. Glory be to God. Now, this arrangement the Father is telling us about, so it's not a social construct. The idea of helpmeet came from the Father, came from God. Hallelujah. He brought both of them together, put them together, and said, this is the beginning of a family, and I want you to multiply. He blessed them, multiply, have children, replenish the earth. Every believer must have that. We can change that.